Aren't you glad he loved you so much that he would give his life for somebody like you and I? God didn't get much when he got me, but I got everything when I got him. I can't help but love him tonight. Listen. Same thing.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost, save knowing Christ.
He knew it.
John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love him, how I worship and adore him, when I can see no way? He makes a Did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him. That's all I want to say.
Have your way, Lord. Have your way.
How many sermons can be preached about my Jesus? How many songs can be sung about God's Son? Oh, there are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all my Savior has done.
He's been good to you. Somebody ought to worship him.
Did I mention that I love him, how I worship and adore him, when I can see no way? He makes a way. Did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him. That's all I want to say. He's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me. I love him. That's all I want to say. I love him. That's all.
You feel that presence that's in this place. You feel God just hovering right over this place. I sure am thankful he shows up. It's a cleansing spirit that's in here tonight. Listen, if your life's not clean, if there's sin present in your life, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That does not mean that if there's sin in your life, God will reject your prayers. Because if you ask and confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins. But if you regard your iniquity, which means that you regard that sin more than you do the presence of God Almighty, God won't hear your prayers. But if you could get rid of the junk, Get rid of the stuff and just say, God, I want you more than I want anything else. Fall on your face. I promise you, He's a faithful God who can forgive you. Oh, He's worthy. Sing that song again. I like that one. I sure am thankful for how good He's been to us. Has He been good to you? He's worthy of our praise. Sing it,
God. David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost, save knowing Christ.
John
yeah. said he is precious.
He pulled up real close to him.
By leaning on his bosom, so for a moment, may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love him, how I worship and adore him? Can see no way, He makes a way. Did I mention He's been faithful to every promise He's ever made me? I love Him. That's all I want. Jesus, how many songs can be sung about God's Son? Oh, there are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all my Savior has done. Did I mention that I love Him, how I worship and adore Him? When I can sing away, He makes a way. Did I mention He's been faithful to every promise He's ever made me? I love Him. That's all I want to say. Did I mention He's been faithful to every promise He's ever made me? I love Him. That's all I
oceans where once were mountains. You made them low where there were stones. Now there is water. You satisfy my thirsty soul. Their strength in knowing you are near me, and peace that you alone bestow. I love you more today than ever, and I just want
peace I give you, he said. Not the peace that the world gives you. The world can give you temporary peace in the midst of your trouble. A doctor can prescribe you temporary peace in the middle of sickness. People can comfort you in temporary issues, but never anything that's eternal. But only God can give you peace that passes all understanding. And people look at your life and think, you're going through the same problems I'm going through, but you ain't falling apart like I am. And that is the peace of God that sits down in the center of the storm and just holds his children together. I sure am thankful that I'm serving him tonight. Where would I be without the Lord Jesus Christ? I got foggy glasses up here. Where would I be without my friend who's been faithful to me? I love that song Katie just sang, Did I Mention That I Love Him? And it says, did I mention that he's always been faithful? So you got to know the other end of that story. is the fact that I have not always been faithful to him. God knew what he was getting when he got me. He knew he would get a mess. He knew what I was. He knew that I was just dust and what frame I was made out of. He knew where I came from. He knew I would walk out on him only to turn around and him not walking out on me. Oh, did I mention he's been faithful? I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what you're facing. I want to tell you something. There is nothing like crawling up in the lap of God Almighty and laying your head on his chest. And when you don't understand your issues and your problems and you don't know how you're going to make it out alive, just put an absolute childlike faith in that God whose lap you're sitting in. I love him tonight. You say, what you doing? I have no earthly idea. I don't even know where I'm at right now. I'm having myself a time in Jesus. Can I sing one more song? Is that all right? You think about all that God provides you with. Not the big things that everybody brags on, but those things that nobody else can see. Lately I've been looking back along these winding roads to the old familiar markers, mercies I've known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no other words to tell you than to say God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. Sure, I've had my share of hard times. By my side he's always stood through it all. God's been good. Now times replay and I can see I've cried some bitter tears. Remember? But I felt his big arms around me as I faced my darkest fear. I've had more gains than losses. I've known more joy than hurts as his grace fell all around me. So undeserved. And God, you've been so good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. Sure, I've had my share of hard times, but by my side he's always stood through it all. God's been good. God has been my Father, my Savior and my friend. His love was my beginning, and his love will be my end. And I could spend forever trying to tell you everything he is. But the best way I could say it is this. God, you've been so good in my life, and I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. Sure, I've had my share of hard times, but by my side he's always stood through it all. God's been so good. I can't help but love Him because He has been so good. God is so good. You know it, sing it. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. I like this. He answers prayers. He answers prayers. He answers prayers. He's so good to sing this part with me. And I love Him so. I love Him so. Sing it out. I love Him so. He's so good to make the devil mad on this last one. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's so good to love the Lord tonight. Just give God praise right there. Can I give you something, challenge you from God's word just for a minute? You remain standing, and if you want to, you can take your scripture, your word of God. I said your word of God. My best traveling companion. I've got a wonderful, wonderful wife, and she is a wonderful traveling companion. But there are times when in the middle of the night I wake up, my heart is disturbed and turmoil. You ever had just wake up in the middle of the night and there's a storm brewing in your soul that nobody else understands? And there's times when I wouldn't dare wake up my wife because she needs a rest. I wear these youngins out and I wear her out riding up and down the road. And there's times when I need somebody to be by my side and to help me and be a comfort to me. And I'll open up God's blessed old book, and it just fills my soul full of peace and comforts me. This is the best companion that I have to travel with. And I thank God for the word of God. But I want you to go to Acts chapter number 12. And when I get in a service like this, you know me, we've been known to not preach and just let God do what God's going to do. And old man of God who's in glory right now, Dr. Willard Thomas, years ago, I've told this church this before, but I'll tell you again. Years ago, he said, son, he said, when the wind of God begins to blow into a church service, he said, when the wind's blowing, it's not time to try to sow seed. He said, because seed will never get to where it's going. He said, a smart sower will never sow seed in the middle of a wind blowing. He said, but what you need to do is, he said, you just need to step back and look at what God's already planted, just blow in that breeze. Yeah, old man of God's still preaching tonight. He's in glory. Because tonight I got to watch people fall on the altar. I got to watch people do this. Wave the hand back and forth and the breeze of God just blow through the trees and show us how good he is. And so I hesitate to do what I'm about to do, but I do want to give you something. And I appreciate all the visitors that's in this place, and I appreciate all the men of God. One of my heroes is sitting right back here, and I love Brother Mike and his family, and his church has been an inspiration to me for years. And you've preached in a Bible college that I was a part of, and you'll never know what some of them sermons did in my soul. I've been in a camp meeting down in McClenny, Florida, where you were at. And sitting underneath a tent in the sawdust, you said things that helped me as a young preacher. And the reason I'm standing where I'm at is men of God have blazed the trail for me. And I want to thank you, preacher. And I thank God. Yeah, give God praise for that. And I want to thank God for everything he's done this week. And I know you've got to get home and get to work, and I don't want to belabor a point, but I do want to give you something to just try to challenge you. And in case the devil shows up tomorrow, you just pull this out and go toe-to-toe with him and let him know where he belongs and that he has no place. The Bible says if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Problem is we cower too many times to the devil. And you can stand against the wiles of the devil, having done all to stand. And the only reason I'm going to take your time out, your precious time out, and give you God's word is because I believe that it's got enough power in it to defeat the devil. Amen. Acts chapter number 12 says this. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Have you ever felt like being a member of the church that the devil writes your address down, and after you leave this place, the devil knows where you live? The devil vexes certain people. I sit in this building tonight and I look in the faces of some people who the devil's been messing with. The devil's been messing with some people, been bothering some people, been vexing some people. And I believe that the word of God is true, and it says that he vexed certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. We know James to be a part of the inner circle of those three men, Peter, James, and John, saw things that other disciples did not see. And James was the first martyr out of that group of apostles. The Bible says, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers, which was 16 soldiers, four in the front, four in the back, four on each side of him. 16 soldiers chained to this man of God. You don't think that men of God in this day and age are a threat to what the devil's doing? You look at this verse and realize that the devil knows he's got a fight on his hands. When these men of God, people of God, get around them and hold their hands up and pray for them, the devil is in a losing battle when God's people go to fighting for God's cause. You don't think that it bothers the devil? The devil's locking this man of God up, one man of God, 16 soldiers to hold him down. Don't tell me you don't have the power of God sitting in your life and that you're not a threat to the devil and his crowd. 16 soldiers chained this one man of this one preacher. He's not a soldier. He's not some kind of warrior. He's not some kind of trained assassin. This is just a man of God. But the devil knew the power of God. The Bible said when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to these four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. The Bible said in verse number 5, I'm going to let you have a seat. Peter therefore was kept in prison. And if we stop right there, there'd be no need for me to go on. I wouldn't have a sermon to preach. We ought to dismiss and just go to the house. But I'm glad that there's not the end of the story. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You can have a seat. Our Heavenly Father, tonight, just in these next few moments, help me get out of my way and get out of your way. And help me preach to these people. God, there's a spirit that's sitting down in this service right now. God, I do not want to do anything that would take away from what you've already done. And if I'm about to step into a place that you did not intend for me to stop, then you stop me right now and I'll do it. I'll sit down, take my seat. But God, I'm asking you that you would move me out of the way. And God, you'd help us to get in the way. And Lord, that you would speak to us through your word and empower my mind and my heart right now to give these folks something that they didn't come all the way over here to hear a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal tonight. They didn't get their kids ready and drive to church, spend up gas money just so somebody would drop the ball tonight. But God, in these next few moments, I ask you to step in this place and minister to your people through your word. I'm asking you to fill me up all the way to the top full of you and empty me of me. I ask it in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. I humbly pray, amen and amen. The Bible said that Peter was kept in prison. And for all intents and purpose, we need to go ahead and just mark her down that if God did not come through in this hour, that Peter would have been just like James and would have had his head chopped off and his body laid in the ground. And Peter would have never preached another sermon. Peter would have never reached out to another soul. And no one else would have ever heard Peter proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something, that the devil is active today. And if he could shut up every Christian that's in here tonight, if he could shut up every daddy that's in here tonight, if he could shut up every praying mama that's in here tonight, if he could shut up every song that that choir sings, and if he could shut up that preacher, he would do everything he could tonight. But I'm glad that God is still on the throne and God always gets the last word. And I want to challenge you tonight that you don't ever need to give up until God says it's over and until God says it's done. Now, it didn't look good for Peter to be put in this prison. It didn't feel good for Peter to be put in this prison. And for all intents and purpose, Peter should have died that day. In fact, as he's laying in that prison cell with those soldiers around him, there is somebody that is signing his death certificate, and the sword of the executioner is being sharpened, and those bloodthirsty, godless men are ready to take the head off of one more preacher. The blood on the blade of that sword from James had not even gotten cold yet before they were ready to take the life of another one. But prayer was made. I want to challenge the church tonight that when you've got nowhere else to go, you need to get to a place of prayer. Prayer is God's game changer. You want to know what I mean when I say prayer's God's game changer? I mean that it does not matter what the situation is. It does not matter how the game is being played out. One side may feel like that they've got the game wrapped up, and then all of the sudden, in a moment in that game, something takes place and momentum shifts and everything shifts back to the other side. Let me tell you what happens when a child of God gets off of Facebook and they turn the television off and they shut their music down and they hit their knees. The devil perks up and he says, no, wait a minute, I thought I had him. The devil thought he had that preacher. shut up. The devil thought he had you. Shut up in divorce. Shut up in depression. Shut up in your darkness. But then prayer was made on his behalf. I sure am thankful that prayer changes the game. Oh, the devil thought he had him, but God's people went to praying. I want to tell you something. We're living in a society, and our churches are living in the motivation and the programs and platforms of what men do, and we're doing everything we can to pretty up the church and make it look good and acceptable in society. And I want to tell you, one of the greatest weaknesses of the church is we have allowed prayer just to fill a time slot in the service. It's become a place where we just do it because we don't know what else to do, from the choir singing to the special music. And so we just pray in a time slot. But I want to tell you something. If you could ever really plug in to the power of prayer and realize that prayer is not a time slot, it's not a time filler, it's not something that you just do over your food, it's not something you do as you begin to fall asleep at night, but prayer is you reaching up to God and pulling God down into your situation. Prayer is God's game changer. When you hit your knees in prayer over your family, over your marriage, and over your problems, the devil realizes he's losing his grip on victory over your issues. The Bible said that prayer was made without ceasing. I wrote some things down just sitting right there while we were singing and worshiping God. I want you to see that in this text we find the condition provoking prayer. The Bible said Peter therefore was kept in prison. Then I want you to see the continuing petition of prayer. But prayer was made without ceasing. How long should I pray? Pray without ceasing. One of the shortest verses in the New Testament, but one that holds more power than dynamite in your hand. Prayer, pray without ceasing. The Bible says that Jesus looked at his disciples and said, men ought always to pray. Now, I'm as guilty about this as anybody else is. But I'll pray over my food. I'm not ashamed of it. I'll pray in a restaurant loud and proud about it. I want to tell you something. If that's the only time I talk to God, I'm missing something in my life. We get to the place where we go home and we're so busy with our schedules. And listen, you're not listening to somebody who's casting judgment on you. I'm preaching out of my own problems because I fell at this more than anybody in this room. We go to home and we get so busy and we're tired by the end of the day. And we many times we forego it. But times we'll kneel down by our children's bedside and everybody's yawning and everybody's talking out of their head. And before the kids are done praying, daddy's over there snoring in prayer. I want to tell you something. That's not prayer. Now, there's a lot God can do with just small things. But I want to tell you something. If you ever want to see the conditions and the problems of your life, if you ever want to get to a place where when you're locked up in an issue, but God can unlock the doors, it's only going to be done through the power of prayer. I believe that we as a church are missing out on one of the greatest opportunities that we've ever had. See, the last generations believed in it. Those preachers of the bygone eras, they believed in prayer. They would come together in prayer meeting. But it's just a title we put on the sign nowadays. But we rarely ever practice it. And I want to tell you something. Prayer is a necessity in the life of every individual, every person that's in this building. You only get the power when you get hooked up in prayer. You're listening to an instrument. You're listening to sound system in here tonight. You're listening to things that are taking place through a sound system. Is that bass on over there? Real quickly, go over there and just start picking on that bass. That man's going to pick up an instrument. But I want to tell you something. That thing he's about to do, he's going to start playing on that bass. This just come to me. I hope it works. You pray for me. As he's playing on that bass, he is strumming them strings. Did you hear that? He is strumming them strings, and those strings are sending through those electronics, sending it through a wire down into that stage, and there's a wire that's run back to that soundboard, and that man is up there adjusting the knobs, and he's giving you sound that's coming from right here, and through all of that, you are hearing what that man is doing. Pick on that thing. Hit some licks on that thing, and as you can hear that, now all of a sudden, you mute him up there. You keep playing. Mute him up there. What you've been wanting to do all week long is mute him while he's playing. Are you still playing? He's still tinkering on that instrument, but you can't hear it. See, there's action in what he's doing, but you can't hear it. Do you know why? It's not what you see that is letting you hear what you hear. You see, there is an electric current that is running into this building that is giving that sound system up there the noise and the power that it needs to project, and that noise is coming through that wire. It's going up to that balcony. It's running into that system. That system is running into an amplifier. That amplifier is connected to those speakers, and those speakers are projecting the sound. But when you cut the power off, there's still movement. There's still things going on. He has not stopped what he's doing, but you can't hear it because there's no power. Now put the power to what he's doing. That is what prayer does in the life of you and I. We can be in our movements. We can be busy. But without prayer, there is no power in what you do. Without prayer, there is no success in what you do. You can be the most busy person in this church, but if you don't ever find the place to plug in to the power of prayer, what you're doing is wearing yourself out. You need prayer because there's power in the prayer. You can stop. Thank you. Not only do I want you to see that, I wrote some of these things down. The continuing petition of prayer. The community of people in prayer. The Bible said that they prayed without ceasing of the church. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church. Say that with me. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church. The church, by God's word, has a responsibility to pray. Not just pray for yourself. When do I need to get into a lifestyle of prayer? When you see people locked up. And you know somebody in here tonight, you know somebody in your family that's locked up in prayer. That is locked up in their condition, in their problem. And the only thing that can set them free is prayer. Without ceasing of the church, we see the community of people in prayer. And I like this, we see the companion present in prayer of the church unto who? God. He said, call unto me and I will answer. And I'll show you great and mighty things which you knew not. He said, if you call unto me, I will show up. Jesus told his disciples, he said, anything that you ask of my Father in my name, it shall be done of my Father. The Bible says that his ear is upon the righteous and his ear is open unto their cry. Did you know that when you begin to pray and you pray without ceasing and you pray in a state of prayer that you are asking God God to intervene, and God, you are inviting God into your, and I'm not talking about these lay me down to sleep prayers. I'm not talking about these cute prayers that the Pharisees stand up in the house and begin to proclaim their eloquent prayers, but I'm talking about in the closet. Jesus looked at the Pharisee and he looked at the publican and he said, that Pharisee is standing there and he thinks that he deserves what he's talking about, but his prayer is not answered. But look at the publican. Look at the one who does not deserve it. And the Bible said that publican would not even look up to God and said, smote his breast and said, forgive me, a sinner. He said, I tell you that that man will be heard over that man. I want to tell you something. Jesus challenged his disciples that it's not standing in the synagogue and praying in front of a bunch of people, but getting in a place and in a closet of prayer is where you'll get most of the unction to function in your life. It's power in the game changer of life, and that's prayer. The companion that shows up in prayer, and the change promised in prayer. Pray unto God of the church, unto God for him. The Bible said in the next few verses that when Herod would have locked him up, that night somebody showed up. I'm glad that if we can meet with God in a spirit of prayer, and if we can meet with God in a desire to see God change everything, God will show up on the scene. What amazes me about the subject of prayer, and I'm done, is the disciples came to Jesus, and they could have asked him anything they wanted to. Simon Peter had no problem with saying things he shouldn't have said. In fact, Simon Peter, the Bible says, and Simon Peter answered. And you can look, and ain't nobody ask a question. Because Simon Peter was always ready and willing to say something. But of all that those disciples could have asked of him, they did not say, Lord, teach me to preach good. They didn't say, hey, Lord, teach me how to walk on water. They didn't say, hey, teach me how to do that thing you did with that kid's lunch. That was bad to the bone. I need to do that at my house every day, and I'll never go hungry again. Teach me to do that. They didn't ask him that. That thing you did where you told us to cast on the other side of the boat and we brought in a bunch of fish, I would have asked him that. Amen, Brother Derek. Just tell me where they are and I'll cast, Lord. Me and Brother Robbie was praying that today. But you know what? They didn't ask him that either. Of all the things they could have asked the creator of the universe, they were so enamored by his ability to pray. They were, Preacher Mike, I believe that they were so in awe at how he talked to the Father that they said, Lord, teach us to pray. When was the last time we didn't ask God to give us more money and more stuff? We didn't ask God, Lord, let them call on me to sing. When was the last time we asked him, God, teach me how to pray? You know why we don't? We don't realize the power of it. But if you could ever see the power of communication with the holy, it would change your life. People are being saved. Tonight, as I'm preaching, there's a church in Texas that's praying for us that people be saved this week. There's two men at my home church every night while I'm preaching, at the time I get up to preach, they're on their face asking God, just anoint him to preach. I want to tell you something. If there's anything that ever comes out of my preaching, I promise you it ain't me. But somebody is getting a hold of God. I'm done right there. I was going to give you something else, but I'm done. With every head bowed, every eye closed, and everybody standing on their feet. I wonder how many of you tonight, just in the solemn quietness of this moment, would have enough boldness to say, you know what, God? There's some things I'm missing in my Christian life. There's some things that's not exactly right. And God, there's some things that I want to ask you for to help me with. But tonight, here's my one request. God, teach me to pray. And not just pray every now and then, but God, help me to turn off the TV. I'm not against television, but it soaks up so much of our time, it becomes an idol, and that is an abomination unto God. And I wonder how many of you tonight would say, and not just say, but I wonder how many of you would step out of where you're standing and join me. I'm going to be in the altar and ask God, God, there's some people locked up in my life. There's some people in my church that's locked up. Sunday school teachers, there's some kids. There's some adults. There's some families that's locked up. Mamas and daddies. I've got children that are locked up. Maybe not physically, but spiritually tied down to something. God, teach me to pray. In Jesus' name. Lord, I believe we're missing something in this generation. Because we're so busy filling our lives full of stuff. And I wonder how many things in my life will remain locked down because I didn't take time to pray. God, I thank you that it's not when I'm standing that makes me a great Christian, but it's when I'm kneeling in my weakness where I find the strength that I need. Lord, I'm asking you to teach us to pray. As a church, coming together to pray for our people, God, there's attacks that's coming against this pastor. I'd be a fool, and I would be less than my duty of a brother of Christ and a part of this ministry if I do not take time to pray for this man of God who is being attacked by hell. Pray for his family. God, teach us to pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You pray as long as you need to. Everybody standing all over the house. While there's some still at this altar with every head bowed, every eye closed. We cannot be in a service like this tonight and not make a plea and an invitation. Because there may be somebody that's in here tonight that does not know Him. I've said it before, there's only two people that's in this room tonight. And it's the people who know they're saved and on their way to heaven. And the other one is those who are on their way to hell. And I'm asking you tonight, do you know where you belong? If Jesus came tonight, do you know you'd go to heaven? If you know without a doubt in your mind that you're saved, secure, and on your way to heaven, I want you to throw your hand up real high. Say, I know, preacher, I'm saved. Have no doubt about it, and I'm happy about it. I'm saved. You put them down. Maybe there's somebody in here tonight, and you say, preacher, I'm a part of that other one because I don't know that I'm saved. But I know I don't want to go to hell. Will you pray for me? I will. I want to ask you, if you don't know that you're saved in here tonight, with every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, would you just slip your hand up like these others did and say, preacher, I do not know that I'm saved. I do not know that I'm saved, but I know I don't want to go to hell. Is there one? Preacher, pray for me. I will. Is there one? Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. You will meet God. Do you know you're going to meet Him saved? If you say, preacher, I don't, I'm going to pray for you. Just slip it up, put it right back down. Slip it up, put it right back down. Thank you.
Preacher asked, heads bowed and eyes closed still. I want to ask one more time. If you raised your hand just a minute ago, would you please just lift it back up and put it back down where I can see it? Is anybody like that? All right. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for tonight. God, we thank you for your presence, Lord, in this building. Lord, from the time that service started, God, you begin to work and move. And Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for loving us. And God, spending time with us. God, I thank you for the message tonight that was preached. God, I pray, Lord, that each one of us, that you teach us to pray. God, that we may have breakthroughs in our life and tap into the power of God. Lord, thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you for this time of revival meeting. God, I pray that you continue to work in lives and continue to work in hearts. Lord, I pray tonight that if there is one here in this building, maybe they were too embarrassed to raise their hand, but if there's one that's lost in this building tonight, God, I pray that they'll not leave this property without talking to one of us, somebody in this church, about getting saved. God, I thank you for the people, my friends, who've traveled great distances to be here. Lord, what a blessing it is to have people in your life, Lord, that you placed divine appointments, God. God, I pray for these men, these ladies, Lord. I pray as they go home tonight, give them traveling mercy. Watch over and protect them. God, I pray, Lord, that you continue, Lord, to bless what's going on here. God, may we continue to give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.